Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
Man, we are in a different time slot today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is different. It is. I don't think it's bad, but it's definitely different.
A little peek behind the curtain. Matt and I usually record late at night. That's kind of the time that works best for us and our family. And had a little bit of turbulence last night. Both of us had some things going on. Wasn't going to work out. So we are recording live during the day with my daughter in the background playing with cars and her frozen action figures, dolls, whatever you want to call them. Oh. So if you hear some commotion, that's what that is. Matt, you're taking the day off of work.
I am. So we've got some fun stuff in our family.
Fun stuff all the way around. And before we talk about all the fun stuff, you let everybody know we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That is right. Matt, family stories. You want to go first? You want me to go first? What do you got?
I think mine's pretty good this week. It's like a two-parter. So my daughter on Saturday comes to me and goes, Daddy, what day is football on? I was like, well, football I watch is on Sunday. So she's like, all right, tomorrow is Sunday, and I'm going to cuddle and watch football with you. I'm like, sweet. All right, I'm good. So the Chiefs game's on. We're watching the Chiefs game. She wakes up from nap, comes down, sits next to me, cuddles up next to me. And I forget who they play. Who did they play last week?
The Panthers. I was there.
Panthers. That's right. You were at that game. So Panthers have the ball on offense. And there's a reason I remember this, because it cuts to the sideline and it shows Patrick Mahomes without his helmet on. And she's like, Daddy, that's the guy from the Hy-Vee commercial. Like, I like him. He's my favorite. And I'm like, oh, great. She's 4 years old. She's got a crush on a multi-billionaire football player. I'm like, yeah, his name's Patrick. She's like, I like Patrick. So the Chiefs get the ball, and they come out. And she's like, where's Patrick, Daddy? Where's Patrick? And I said, she's learning numbers. I said, he's number 15. And they showed him with his helmet on. And she's like, that's not him. And I said, what do you recognize about Patrick? Like, what makes you think it's him? She's like, his hair. I love Patrick's hair. I was like, okay. And she goes, isn't he like a penny? He's a penny, right? I was like, what do you mean a penny? She's like, he plays penny. And I was like, no, he's a quarterback. He plays quarterback. And she's like, okay, quarterback. Okay. So she's got a favorite player and she's starting to recognize position names. And so she's a big Patrick Mahomes fan. She's 4 years old. So I have that to look forward to. She's like, I want to marry him. I said, well, he's got a wife, baby, and another baby on the way. So maybe you'll find a different quarterback.
Why you got to crush those dreams, Matt? Why you got to crush those dreams?
She's 4. She's not allowed to marry. I like Patrick Mahomes. Make a great son-in-law. She's too young. So let's hear yours. Is your story from the same game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, took the boy to his very first NFL game. That was the Chiefs versus the Panthers. We drove up there, no problems. Drove back, no problems. While we were there, though, it was just a really weird vibe. A really weird vibe. And I don't know how other NFL stadiums are doing it. I'm sure it's similar. But they're like, you have to wear a mask while you're sitting there the entire time. And they have like security there at every entrance, if you will, like while you're sitting, looking at you, watching the crowd, making sure you're wearing this mask at all times.
I don't know the Chiefs policy. Are you guys 6 feet apart?
Yeah. They have like all the chairs like zip tied shut, so you can't move around. That way, they know exactly what like the distances are between everybody. You can only take your mask up if you're actively taking a drink or if you're eating.
Chewing, you have to have your mask up.
Yeah, it's so weird. The cool thing was you got food as quick as possible.
Like, oh yeah, I'm sure there was no lines. Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
And it was a good game. I mean, that was I watched until about halftime and I had to go do something. And I was like, oh, it got close.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a really, really good game. Panthers should have had it, but they just weren't confident. You could just tell they weren't confident. The fake punt worked. Then they did the fake onside kick, and that failed miserably. And that they lost all the momentum on that. But regardless, it's Panthers are. It's the Christian McCaffrey show, and that's really it.
Curtis Samuel, Justin.
Yeah, he finally looked good, huh? He had one good game.
He's looked good the last 2 weeks, man. He's up and comer.
Sorry.
Go trade for him now. I'm just telling you. If he was owned in less than 50% of leagues, he would be a renegade.
Well, Matt, what do you say we get to the news and notes?
Let's hear it. What do we got?
Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey is not expected to play in Week 10 after suffering a shoulder injury this weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs. McCaffrey finally returned from an ankle injury in Week 9 and resumed his workhorse role in Carolina's offense with 28 touches, 151 yards, and a touchdown. He dominated backfield snaps despite pregame reports that the Panthers could deploy a timeshare between CMC and Mike Davis. McCaffrey was hurt late in the game on a tackle near the sideline. He appeared to be in pain for several minutes after the tackle. Now with McCaffrey out of the way, Davis should once again take over as the Panthers' primary back.
Just for a week. Just for 1 week, then he's coming back. McCaffrey will be fine. It's just a shoulder. He'll be fine.
They're safe than sorry, I suppose.
Yeah, and Davis has looked good subbing, like filling in for him. So they don't. Is McCaffrey a system back? I don't think he's a system back, but you can. Mike Davis has done well in that system as well.
Antonio Brown caught 3 of 5 targets for 31 yards in Week 9 against the Saints.
We have that toy too. I can see it.
Brown played 39 of 50 snaps, that's 78%, in his Bucs debut. Even in his first game on a loaded depth chart, Tom Brady made a point to get him involved. Brown's role should continue to grow as he gets acclimated from missing the last 8 weeks. Matt, what is Antonio Brown the rest of the way? A wide receiver 4, a 3, a 2, where you got him at?
If an injury happens, it's easy to see him step in somewhere and do well. But and with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin the way they are, that there's an opportunity there. I think if everybody's healthy, he's a wide receiver 3, 4, low end 3, high end 4. It's hard to trust anybody. Someone's going to blow up each week. It's just who's it going to be? But last week, and Brown came in and the offense looked awful. Saints were up 28-0 super early, and it was just like, what happened? The offense that looked unstoppable added a weapon, and now they're stoppable.
Keenan Allen caught 9 of 11 targets for 103 yards and a touchdown in the Chargers' Week 9 loss to the Raiders. Playing through a sore throat, Allen has seen double-digit targets in 6 straight games he's played, start to finish with Justin Herbert. He's about as safe as a wide receiver 1 there is in fantasy right now. He has 3 100-yard games on the year and gets a date with the Dolphins in Week 10. Matt, what is the most difficult thing you've ever accomplished while suffering from a sore throat?
I threw a no-hitter freshman year baseball against St. Albert.
Was not expecting a legitimate response. Ezekiel Elliott rushed 18 times for 51 yards. Both of his targets for 18 yards in the Cowboys' Week 9 loss to the Steelers. As expected, Elliott's snap count was down in Week 9 compared to previous weeks due to his hamstring injury, but the Cowboys were surprisingly able to keep this game close, which allowed Zeke to still see 20 touches. Tony, is it Pollard?
Tony Pollard. Probably.
Subbed in admirably when Zeke left the field and even finished with more rushing yards, 57, on 9 fewer carries. The upcoming bye comes at the right time for Zeke. Matt, let's play a little name game. Dynasty rules.
You don't need to do this. I know what you're going to do. You don't need to do this.
Zeke or Todd Gurley?
Zeke.
Zeke or Aaron Jones?
Zeke.
DeAndre Swift?
Zeke.
Jonathan Taylor?
Zeke.
I think it should be noted Zeke is a top 5 running back in scoring right now, but hasn't scored since Week 5 and hasn't produced 100 yards from scrimmage game since then either.
Awesome. If you're selling Zeke at a discount, you're doing it wrong. And if you're in a league with me and you own Zeke and I don't own Zeke, come send me an offer for Zeke. I will gladly buy him for whatever you're selling. Dude is a top five startup pick, no matter the settings. And if people want to sell him short right now, great. Dak's gone. The offensive line is hurt. Yeah, it'll be a down year. But if you're playing Dynasty the right way, he's going to boom back up. Like, there's no reason to sell him right now, especially if, like, I don't understand why anybody would want to sell him. He's not producing. Okay, he's still a top five guy. Imagine when he has his offensive line, when he has a competent quarterback, whoever that is next year. No?
Five straight weeks is a bit of a red flag to me. Tony Pollard actually having success is also a bit of a red flag. I don't know. I get it. If you get a good price for him, like, what would a good price be for Ezekiel Elliott right now? Like, what would be a comfortable price to pay?
When Andy Dalton, his first official start, I traded for Zeke in a super flex league, and I traded Joe Burrow and two firsts for Zeke and Cortland Sutton after he got hurt. Like, I would pay that.
Okay. So you got Wayne Gallman, who is like 10 times better than Zeke right now. Rushed 14 times for 68 yards and a touchdown in the Giants' Week 9 win over Washington, adding a 9-yard reception. Gallman seeded 9 for 67 to Alfred Morris on the ground, but he is safely established as the Giants' lead back during Devonta Freeman's absence. Now, Freeman did resume practicing this week, so it's quite possible he's going to return Week 10 against the Eagles. The G-men head on a bye in Week 11, so perhaps they hold Freeman out one more game. Even if Freeman returns next Sunday, I find it hard to believe that he's just going to – they're going to bench Gallman.
He's
a three-game touchdown streak for Gallman. A little bit of a name game, dynasty rules. This one's kind of weird because Wayne Gallman is a guy that it's kind of hard to believe what he's doing right now. But you got Gallman or any Patriots running back?
Patriots running back.
Okay. Frank Gore, Wayne Gallman.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Thank you.
I'll take Gore.
Oh, that's a terrible choice.
Gallman
was drafted like three years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
I'll take the 3 years of Gore that he has left.
Joshua Kelly or Wayne Gallman?
Kelly.
How about Salvin Ahmad, a guy we're going to talk about in a little bit?
Well, the Dolphins? It was drafted by the 49ers? Yeah, I know. I know Mr. Ahmad. I'll take Gallman.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Not what you thought I would say?
No, that was pretty – I think I would take Wayne Gallman over any Patriots running back right now, because you never know which Patriots running back is going to do anything.
JJ, Mr. JJ,
I love JJ Taylor, but they're not getting him involved. He's not playing at all.
Harris, you said dynasty rules. Like, these guys leave and do well other places.
I think Wayne Gallman's going to get himself some like playing time next year by how he's playing right now. I really do. I don't know. It won't be for the Giants.
You were on the Justin Jackson train 3 years too early, so maybe.
Fowler probably said Allen is trending towards missing the rest of the 2020 season after suffering a horrific injury Sunday against the Giants. The football team won't know Allen's long-term prospects until he has surgery, though.
Can I stop you before you do this?
Sure.
Would you rather be the Washington football team quarterback or an alligator hunter? Because both jobs seem terribly dangerous with career catastrophic injuries.
Gotcha.
Speaking of catastrophic injuries, I think you're going to mention Alex Smith.
Alex Smith will start for Washington for as long as Allen is out. Dwayne Haskins could move up to backup quarterback, though it's pretty difficult to overemphasize how much the franchise has soured on its former starter. In other news, RB J.D. McKissic ran a league-high 31 pass routes in Week 9 against the Giants. Alex Smith's dump-off prowess led to a whopping 14 targets for McKissic in Washington's loss. He caught 9 passes for 65 yards to go along with 3 carries for 17 yards. Matt, dare I say, J.D. McKissic, relevant.
Sleeper has changed J.D. McKissic from a running back to a running back slash wide receiver, and you can play him in either slot.
Ayo, for those 12 of you that still play on Sleeper.
Sleeper's pretty big, man.
Sure.
And it's free.
Sure. There's a point. There's
a lot of people.
It's free.
A lot of people on Sleeper.
You get what you pay for. Justin Herbert completed 28 of 42 passes for 326 yards and two touchdowns in the Chargers' 31-26 Week 9 loss to the Raiders. Herbert has tossed multiple touchdowns in five straight games and has a 15-3 touchdown interception mark in that span with an additional rushing score to his name. He hasn't been the problem at all for the Bolts, who continue to find ways to lose games. The Chargers got all the way down to the four-yard line at the end of the game and opted to call back-to-back low-percentage end zone fades that were tough to complete. I'm sure everybody saw that on Twitter. All the football experts were talking about it.
I think Herbert does everything well except for win.
Herbert's two touchdowns that counted were hookups with Keenan Allen and Gabe Nabbers. Matt, what is your favorite memory of Florida State Seminole legend Gabe Nabbers?
When he played with Cam Akers and they did a double reverse and Nabbers took it to the house.
Once again, wasn't expecting a legitimate answer. Jake Luton.
Look that play up. Look Jake that play
Luton,
up.
Luton. Is it Luton? Like futon?
Probably.
Jake Futon Luton completed 26 of 38 passes for 304 yards.
He doesn't roll out. He folds out.
Hey, there it is. 26 of 38 for 304 yards and a touchdown and an interception. Rushed for 13-yard touchdown in his debut against the Texans. Futon Luton hit DJ Shark for a 73-yard touchdown on his second pass of the game. He targeted Shark, a team-high 12 times and took more deep shots than Gardner Minshew, averaging 8.0 yards per attempt. Futon Luton had Jacksonville in position to tie after he scored a rushing touchdown late, but, of course, the Jaguars failed to convert the two-point conversion. There were some overthrows and passes deflected at the line of scrimmage from Futon Luton, but this was an impressive first start for the rookie six-rounder. Futon Luton and the Jags traveled to Green Bay in Week 10. Matt, what'd you think?
Rest of the year, would you rather have Minshew or Futon?
If I'm only doing the rest of the year, I'm going to take the guy that's starting.
You don't think Minshew comes back?
No, I don't think so. But the stash, I would say, man. if you're in a league where you need an extra quarterback or whatever, I think you can do a lot worse than Gardner Minshew. He's going to get a shot somewhere. He's going to go somewhere where go ahead.
Mariota. I have Mariota in a couple leagues, so I'd rather have Minshew or Futon over Mariota.
I could see Minshew going somewhere where there's a bit of a competition, has a chance to start. You know, I think he's too good to be a career backup, but that's just me. What do I know? Seahawks running back DJ Dallas played 31% of the team's offensive snaps in Week 9 against the Bills. It's a far cry from Dallas' Week 8 role against the Niners when he played 79% of the snaps and got 18 of the team's 20 rushing attempts with Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde sidelined. Now, Travis Homer was apparently healthier in Week 9 than he was the week before, resulting in 9 touches for 80 yards against the Bills. Alex Collins also ate to Dallas's workload against Buffalo. Matt, stop trying to do your Irish line.
Irish jig.
DJ Dallas obviously won't be an auto start anytime soon, but what kind of value do you give him as a fantasy asset right now?
See, I don't know if you remember this, but we were in a league together where I got Dallas in the third and stashed him on a taxi, and like he looked good coming out of Miami. And he had an opportunity in Seattle, and he's realizing that value. I think our friends over at DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Thank you. I kind of have him valued a little too low because I'd take Dallas over what they have him valued at.
Right now, DTC has DJ a value of 1.8, which is equivalent to a 2021 third-round pick.
Yeah, I'd take the production now over the gamble.
Especially third rounder. So late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good throwing guy if you're on the other side trying to get somebody and you might want to throw in DJ Dallas and finish that deal out. So you got Philip Lindsay. He rushed 8 times for 23 yards in the Broncos' Week 9 loss to the Falcons. Lindsay wasn't targeted once, but did out-carry Gordon by 2 rushes. That shouldn't be the expectation in future games, but Lindsay appears to have forced a full-blown backfield by committee in Denver. Now, I don't think you can have any confidence starting Gordon or Lindsay while both are, well, active. What say you, Matt? Really?
Yeah, I would be okay starting both.
It's such a
RB2 or a flex spot? Yeah.
See, I'm in a couple of leagues where I actually do own both of them. And you're
starting them both?
It just so happens in those leagues I'm kind of lacking in the running back territory. So, yeah, I kind of have to. I know in one league you have to start 2 running backs. You can only start 2 running backs, and those are my 2 running backs this week.
There you go.
With bye weeks, injuries.
It's not a bad strategy.
It's not my favorite strategy. You know that.
It's not a great strategy, but it's not awful. Like, you could do worst. Worse, not worst.
You could do worst. You're right, Matt.
Who is the worst? I saw the realist, and I didn't know if we were.
Jordan Howard rushed 10. Speaking of worst, Jordan Howard rushed 10 times for 19 yards and a touchdown.
Woohoo!
In Miami's Week 9 win over the Cardinals. Howard handled a team-high 10 carries without Myles Gaskin, but moved like a slug, and he, had he not fallen into the end zone in the first quarter, was practically unusable for much of the fantasy week. Now, rookie Salvin Ahmad was much more explosive, averaging 5.4 yards per carry on his only 7 attempts. Perhaps DeAndre Washington is treated as a bell cow upon being activated in Week 10, but I'm not seeing a lot here. How about you, Matthew? What do you like? What do you not like?
Did Matt Breida die?
Yes.
Oh, well then, okay. No, Ahmad, I had him in a couple leagues just because he was in San Francisco, and then when he moved on from San Francisco, I moved on from Mr. Ahmad. Maybe I shouldn't have. You're right. He did look more explosive. But I don't know. Is it because he's actually explosive, or is it because he followed Jordan Howard?
Yeah. Let's see, Matt. What else we got here? Josh Allen completed 31 of 38 passes for 415 yards and 3 touchdowns.
MVP.
And 3 touchdowns. Stop it. And the Bills' 44-34 Week 9 win over the Seahawks, adding 7 carries for 14 additional yards and a touchdown. The Bills never bothered with the running game against the Seahawks' astonishingly bad defense, and Allen rewarded them with a first half where he went 24 of 28, 282 yards, and 3 scores. Allen will look to stay hot against Arizona's bending, but not breaking, defense in Week 10 before heading on a bye in Week 11. Josh Allen, absolute beast.
MVP. Everyone's talking about Russ. I get it. But everyone, like, it's not surprising that Russ did this. It's surprising that the Buffalo Bills are as good as they are and that Josh Allen has performed as well as he has. MVP is always about a story. That's all it is.
Stephon Diggs caught 9 of 12 targets for 118 yards in the Bills' Week 9 win over the Seahawks. Diggs' fourth 100-yard game of the season was his first since Week 5. Despite that yardage slump, Diggs has reached 6 receptions every appearance since Week 3, keeping his floor sky high, even as the Bills' passing attack sputtered heading into today. Diggs does have only 1 score since September, something that will hopefully regress to the mean soon for the player, seeing this kind of usage. The Cardinals Week 10, bye Week 11.
Are you ready to admit that Stephon Diggs is better than Adam Thielen? Ready to admit that yet? Because you were not on that side of the argument ever. You always said Thielen was better than Diggs.
As a wide receiver one, a real-life wide receiver one, absolutely. I still think Thielen is a better wide receiver than Stephon Diggs.
Gosh. But
you never have heard me say anything negative about Stephon Diggs.
Just that Thielen was better.
In that role, yeah.
Stephon Diggs is a top, what, 5 wide receiver right now?
In fantasy? Maybe.
Yeah, let's stick to in fantasy.
Well, now we're having different conversations.
Still, he's better than Thielen in fantasy and in real life.
Probably.
Thank you.
But when they were both on the same offense, though, we always had back and forth. You'd have weeks where Thielen was an absolute monster. You'd have weeks when Diggs was a monster. Maybe it's just time that we both admit they're both really, really good.
They are both really, really good. Diggs is just better.
Sure. You know who might be better than both of them? Curtis Samuel caught nine targets for 105 yards and a touchdown in the Panthers' Week 9 loss to the Chiefs. Samuel has emerged in recent weeks after the Panthers released their number 4 wide receiver, Seth Roberts. Curtis Samuel has been a near every down player and has been lucky finding the end zone on creative plays from offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Samuel's upside is evident, but it's still hard to trust his floor after a very slow beginning of the season. Samuel will be a classic boom or bust play against the Bucs.
Joe Brady loves guys that get yak, and Curtis Samuel is a yak monster. Get on the ball. Let's see what he can do in space. Yes. Hand it off. Robbie Anderson is a wide receiver one in Carolina now. DJ Less hasn't produced. Where has DJ Less been? He's the number 3 wide receiver in that offense right now.
Matt, let's play a little bit of Who to Realist. You ready?
All right. Let's do it.
We got Ronald Jones back-to-back 5 points or less performances, or Christian Kirk scoring in back-to-back games.
So just to recap, Who to Realist, which one of these is more likely to continue to happen?
Yes, you ask this every week. But is the more likely to happen again?
We may have new listeners.
And no, I just we don't them. Get new listeners here. We talk to the same 13 people every week.
Christian Kirk is the realist.
Okay.
Scoring touchdowns.
Alex Smith's 3 interceptions or Nick Foles' 330-plus passing yards?
Nick Foles.
Yeah. Oh, really? I really thought you were going to go Alex. I think Alex Smith is the worst active quarterback in the league right now. Like the worst starting NFL quarterback right now is Alex Smith, and it's not close.
Joe Flacco?
No, don't even. Joe, despite that one really, really bad interception at the game, Flacco played great last week.
Futon?
He had a great game.
Who's the Broncos starter right now?
Drew Lock.
Oh.
Pop Lock, and don't drop it.
That was a joke. No, no, stop. Worst quarterback in the league right now is Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback. Whoever it is this week.
Dude, it's close. He didn't turn it over 3 times.
The Steelers always play down to their competition. No. Alex Smith is check down Charlie. More check down than he used to be. Alex Smith 2.0. More check downier.
One more for you. Rex Burkhead's 15 touches or Melvin Gordon's 7.
Rex Burkhead. He's the realist.
Wow. You've loved Rex Burkhead for a long time.
For a long time. Dude is so cheap everywhere. So
because you don't know what he's going to do.
He averages like 10 points a week.
Yeah, and you hope you start him. He doesn't always get you that 10 points. He might average that at the end of the year, but he doesn't get you 10 points like on average. You know what I mean? Nope. He has a couple of great games, but he has mostly stinkers.
That if you're like, I need a guy, Burkhead. Let's throw Burkhead in. Maybe this is the week. Yeah, and Burkhead's had 4 good weeks?
I should mention the reason why that was on there. The 15 touches for Burkhead is a season high. The 7 touches for Gordon is a season low.
And you saw what Burkhead did with his 15. I think Gordon's going to continue to carry the ball. Like that's more about my thinking positively on Gordon than actually thinking Burkhead's going to get 15.
Browns coach Kevin Stefanski Browns coach Kevin Stefanski said Nick Chubb is progressing and expects to know his status by Friday. Chubb is practicing Wednesday for the first time since going on IR. He's been targeting a return coming off of Cleveland's bye. After missing the last 5 games, Chubb looks to be on track to return Sunday. The Browns seem likely to use Nick Chubb in an even timeshare with Kareem Hunt in his first game back.
You know who else is coming back for the Browns?
Who's that, Matt?
Austin Hooper.
Hooper. It's a good matchup, too.
It is. And they need pass catcher. They lost OBJ. Jarvis Landry has kind of been the de facto number one receiver.
Ravens coach John Harbaugh said Mark Ingram could return for week 10 against the Patriots. Ingram has missed the past 2 games with a high ankle sprain. Assuming he avoids setbacks, Ingram would rejoin the Ravens' 3-back committee, making it a backfield to completely avoid, in my opinion. Baltimore playing on Sunday night gives Ingram a little extra time to get cleared. But, boy, you're going to have to be pretty committed if you're going to be making those lineup decisions.
Don't you like Ingram? Aren't you like the number one fan?
I love Ingram. I hate the situation that they put everybody in. None of those guys have any chance to get any like steamrolling, man. It's hard. I think J.K. Dobbins is such a dude. Dobbins is such a great big play running back. I love it. I don't think he can. I don't think he'll ever be a 20-25 carry guy. No, I always said eventually he's going to be a big play dude. But Gus Edwards is the better all around running back right now. He totally is. And then Mark Ingram is just the best running back there. The most experienced, the best red zone guy. Absolutely. Don't even look at me like that. I still love
Gus Edwards. Are you a Ravens fan? Since when are you a Ravens fan?
I'm not a Ravens fan.
Feels like it.
Love the running backs, man. I love what they're doing over there.
You like terrible running backs.
Right.
You just said it's a situation to avoid, but you love all three of them.
Yeah. When one of them or two of them are injured, I can make a statement on any of them.
But Burkhead's really good when you don't know who else is getting the ball. If he's the only one getting the ball, he's great.
I need more J.J. Taylor in my life is what I need.
Yeah.
Dolphins place wide receiver Preston Williams on injured reserve. This rules out Williams for at least the next 3 weeks. It's possible he's sidelined more than the minimum, but the Dolphins expect him to return this season. The loss of Williams could result in a promotion to the active roster for Antonio Callaway. Callaway practiced with the Dolphins for the very first time last week. He hasn't played since 2019. Matt, Callaway, deeper leagues. What do you think?
No.
Oh.
Stay away. Aww. Give me Jakeem Grant if we're picking anybody on the Dolphins.
I agree.
He's not owned anywhere.
Antonio Galloway's problem, none of us are owned, Matt. Slavery ended a long time ago. Antonio Galloway's problem is that he's Antonio Callaway. Like, it's such a hard thing to get past when you're that bad. He can't catch.
You think he's bad?
Dude, he can't catch, talented. Dude. Physically talented. He can't catch, though. That's kind of a problem.
That's really weird to play wide receiver if you can't catch, Justin.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Sorry. New Patriots wide receiver Isaiah Ford will be eligible to play Week 10. Acquired from the Dolphins last Tuesday, Ford was ineligible for Week 9 as he went through the league's COVID-19 protocols. Cam Newton has been onto something with Jacoby Myers in the slot, but with Julian Edelman on injured reserve, the Pats need all the middle of the field help they can get. Isaiah Ford or Damian Bird rest of the way, Matt?
Bird. Bird is the word I got. Yeah, Bird. Easy. I mean, he's been there. He knows the system. They traded for Ford. Great, whatever. Where are these tight ends?
I know, right?
Where are these rookie tight ends that were supposed to be? Gronk and Hernandez, 2.0.
Not even.
Ozzie. Not even. Get out of here. They're just.
Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers has the 6 most targets in the NFL over the past 3 weeks. After another dominant target share on Monday night against the Jets, Myers is seeing more opportunity than all but the game's top wideouts. He is tied with DK Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Robbie Anderson, and Juju Smith-Schuster with 28 targets over that 3-week stretch, seeing 38% of New England's targets. Really, really something to see. That doesn't look to change either. With Julian Edelman being out, N'Keal Harry is going to eventually return, but I don't think anybody really sees that affecting Jacoby Myers much. Myers kind of broke out of nowhere here.
Not out of nowhere, because he was relevant last year too. He fell off after the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but everybody knew his name from last year. You didn't know his name from last year?
I drafted Jacoby Myers. I know who Jacoby Myers is.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you can't say, oh, he was relevant because he played 4 great weeks at the beginning of the season.
People know who he is. It's not like he came out of nowhere.
Name. He's not a household name.
Dynasty players know Jacoby Myers.
Maybe. Most of them.
Probably. Last one.
Colts tight end Jack Doyle will have to wait another week before he says O'Doyle rules. Has a concussion. Already been ruled out for Week 10 against the Titans. That's the Thursday night game, I do believe. Doyle will miss at least one game in the concussion protocol. He was always a long shot with the Colts playing on Thursday night. There you go. Sorry. Mo Alie-Cox and Trey Burton will pick up Doyle snaps. Matt, if you had to start one of those tight ends tonight, who's it going to be?
Is Cox relevant again? I'm starting Burton. Burton produced when Doyle was around. So
I don't much
as much fun as it as much fun as it is to play with Cox. I can't trust him. I'm going to go with Burton. He could explode tonight, though. Out of nowhere. Renegade time?
Yeah. On that note, we're absolutely going Renegades. Here we go. And we're back.
Oh, last week, Matt Breida died and only carried the ball four times for 13 yards. So that was great. But Denzel Mims, who I'm still shocked is only owned in less than 50% of NFL leagues, went four receptions, 48 yards, pretty good waiver wire pickup, gets 8 points for you there. This week, sticking with the rookie wide receiver trend, again, I'm shocked that this guy's owned in less than 50% of leagues, but it's a deeper name, later pick, Darnell Mooney of the Chicago Bears. The only thing that's holding him back is his quarterback overthrowing him, which is weird because he is fast. He's everything that the Bears wanted Anthony Miller to be. Rookie's been tearing it up the last few weeks, had over 12 points these last 2 weeks. I'm picking him up. If I'm in a pinch, I'm starting him. Another name – This is a dart throw. If you like to gamble, this guy is the most available of one of the running back committees out there, Tremaine Pope. He's a Chargers running back. 2 weeks ago, had 15 carries, tore it up for the Chargers, did well, got hurt, was in a concussion, missed last week. Now he's back. It looks like your boy Justin Jackson's going to be out. Somebody's got to take control of that backfield. And if you're gambling, you can gamble on Pope this week.
Thought I heard my boy was just resting this week. They're expecting him to play.
Last I looked, Jackson's expected to be out. Yeah. Josh, likely without Justin Jackson in week 10 against the Dolphins.
Oh, shoot.
Kelly and Kalen Ballage will split backfield touches. And Ballage had a good week last week. So somebody's going to do it.
A lot of Ballage love lately. It's getting kind of weird.
I don't know why. Well, because he left Adam Gase and had success. Yet again, add him to the list of people that got away from Adam Gase and had success.
Well,
what are you looking forward to tonight?
What am I looking forward to?
Yes, in the Colts game tonight.
I am looking forward to probably not watching it because my new Xbox is supposed to be delivered today. Can't wait for it.
You don't
even
have any games, do you?
Bruh, all the games carry over. I got all the games. I have so many good games, Matt.
Did the back
I know, play. I know all the games. I know all the best games.
So you're going to play Madden?
No, I probably will not. I think Call of Duty drops like at midnight tonight. I'll probably play that. I'm not sure. That might have even dropped already. I'm not sure. Might get my Call of Duty on.
You're a gamer.
I'm absolutely a gamer. My boy is really excited. He wants to play because they do that zombies deal. Zombies mode in it, and that's like perfect.
Okay, we'll end this on a dad like theory because I've got a question for you.
And sure.
When you play anything against your son,
yeah,
because my son's only 5 months old, I can't really do a lot with him yet. He does not win peekaboo though. Do you let him win, or do you play him, or do you like do something in the middle?
Most of the time, we don't do like competitive games because it's like it's just not fair. It's just not fair. No, because I've been playing video games since I was a child. Like before, however old he's like 9 now, going to be 10 here in a minute. Like I've been playing games since I was like 6, 7 years old or whatever. So it's just not fair. And he plays mostly on his tablet. He does a lot of games that way. So when he actually sits down and we, you know, get on the couch together and start playing Xbox or whatever, we usually do co-op stuff. Like we'll play any of the sports games. We'll be on the same team. We don't play against each other. Call of Duty or Apex or whatever, we'll just take turns.
Wow.
Almost dies and hand the controller off.
We did our family get together this weekend and my nephew came up to me and actually went to my dad and said, "Grandpa, you want to play air hockey?" My parents have an air hockey table at their house. My dad's like, "Nah." I said, "I'll play air hockey with you." Kid got super excited. He's 6. We go down and play air hockey. And I just destroyed the kid.
Attaboy.
Beat him like 10-2.
Welcome to the real world.
He gave up halfway through. Just put, he's like, I'm done. And I was like, what is this? So I went upstairs. And apparently that's not grandpa house rules. And I was like, I beat him. He's like, you did what? And I was like, yeah, I beat him like 10-2. And I let him score the last two just so he'd feel good. He's like, you let the kid win. That's what you do. And I'm like, apparently I'm doing this parenting thing wrong because I'm not planning on letting my kids win anything. My wife can let him win. I'm gonna. If you beat me, you legit beat me.
What a dick.
Is that okay? So that's a terrible.
How old was this kid?
Parenting. Six years old. No.
How many people have you told this story to? Because I feel like this is something you bragged about ever since.
I've told this story to you and our 13 listeners that are listening right now.
Like, yo, random person at the store. Hey. Guess what I did this weekend?
No, I just – my dad was, like, appalled that I did that, and I was like, maybe I'm in the wrong. But I thought, well, you mentioned playing games with your son. I don't anticipate letting my son win stuff, but maybe I'm wrong. By the anybody way, out there that plays games or anything with their kids, let me know what you do and why I'm a terrible parent.
Quick story, and then we'll let everybody go here. So we when I was at the – we were walking to our seats at the game – there was a guy that was walking down the row, and he was clearly intoxicated, but he was walking down the row and he like stumbled to where his foot got stuck between like the chair in front of him. Right. Like that kind of that gap there something's going to go in that gap. And then you got to reach down there and grab it amongst all the filthy peanuts and dirt and whatever. Anyways, his foot gets stuck in there and he's stumbling because he's just trashed. He does like a complete 180 with his foot locked into this little gap, wrenches his leg, falls backwards, and his leg is so tight, his leg is what like held him there. Like, so he's like he's on his back with his face looking up, and he just looks so painful. And he didn't yelp. He didn't like scream for help. He's just so drunk. He just kind of laid there hanging by his foot. It was. He didn't move until security helped him up. And
did you say something? Did your son say something?
No, Carson didn't see it. I seen everything though. I was like, I was just thinking to myself, I couldn't get it out of my head. I still can't get it out of my head. There's no way that dude didn't feel that the next day. That had to hurt so bad. His knee, his leg went 180 degrees, Matt. It was disgusting.
You can't turn your leg 180 degrees.
Not when it's like locked in like that though. Like it wasn't my choice. And then he just hung there. Like, oh, it's so painful. I should have pulled my phone out and took a picture.
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, it doesn't sound. I don't know. One of those things where you had to be there, I guess.
It was so ugly. Huh. Speaking of ugly, that's the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Again, we were brought to you by DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Sorry about the background noise.
Yeah, she's cute.
It is what it is. But yeah, be sure to hit us up on Twitter. We are at Dynasty Dads. I will report next week about how awesome the new Xbox is, and we'll go from there. I'll tell you all about it, Matt. I'll tell you all about it.
PlayStation.
All right, everybody. Check you out later.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, dynastydads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.